Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome in, everybody. A happy Thursday. It is on the clock. I am Ben Kenny. Here with you on Phillies 24/7 and Sports Radio WIP. An entertaining week, a week that became positive at the end. So I, as is the case, I start prepping the show during the week so that I don't reach Thursday morning and realize that, you know, none of my thoughts are on the paper. It's better when everything is fresh. And because this is more of a week-long show, try to hit everything. I try to hit the general theme or the general tone. So I sit down to do it initially on Tuesday, which was after the split or the end of the split against Pittsburgh, and after the Aaron Nola dominant 2-1 walk-off win against Colorado. And at that point, they had, you know, they're winning games. They were at or directly above 500. But the offense had been so frustrating that it would have been hard to just be, oh, the pitching's so good and they're winning. You have to point out the negative in that situation. Now, that obviously, that's Tuesday. So then as the week goes on, they pummel the Rockies again with a more complete offensive showing with Ranger Suarez complete game shutout. And then last night, it got close at the end, but still, I mean, dominant starting pitching, and the bats actually woke up to complement it. Schwarber goes deep twice, and Turner does too. So when I say like it was a fun week, it was a positive week, really wasn't the case midway through. That's the beauty of what we're doing. Anytime you sweep anybody, you're stepping in the right direction, even if it's a bad team at home. Given where this team has been, and again, we've talked about the first month of the season and its importance to the entire year because of how slow they've started over the last couple of years and how terrible the schedule was that they get to face. Like it's a requisite that they start hot. Now, last week at this time, it looked like starting hot for them just meant 500, which I would have lived with. Look at the positives and move forward. But this week, I think genuinely, my headline for general thoughts from the week is that the season has begun. That, okay, we're into the year. There's still some holdouts, if you will, that we'll get to. We're not just going to paint positivity. There is some negatives. But the season as a whole has begun. The bats are starting to wake up. Bryce Harper's starting to get out of his thing. And finally, we're seeing at least a smidgen of complimentary, complete baseball. And that's what they did to sweep the Rockies. So maybe I should do this every Thursday on the 1 to 10 the happiness scale, the satisfaction scale, this week was a 7.5, an 8. Because when you consider where they had been entering, against subpar competition, they'd just been kind of biding their time, futzing around, not putting it together, not playing good baseball, winning, which is good that they can still win without doing that. That tells you something. But still, you want the team to just put it together. Because when you're that much more talented than other teams, it should come a little easier. So that's what I thought this week was. I had written the way I was going to approach it was, you know, there could have been two ways to look at this. The cup could have been half full. And this was before the last two against Colorado. The cup could have been half full at that point. After a 3-2 week, they were, I think, 9-8 or something. The pitching had been incredible. And that still is the case. But especially, like, to that point, Nola had just shoved. The only holdout was Wheeler. And you're fine with that. Kind of a fluky bad start. Ranger had been great, right? Like, the pitching top to bottom, rotation and bullpen, had been the best in baseball, flat out incredible. And they were still winning games and hanging in there despite bad offense. It wasn't all going bad at the same time. Pitching's good, defense, offense bad, still winning. Other way around, you know, the pitching could struggle, but the bats wake up, then you still win that way. That's the sign of a good team, is to weather all of the storms, no matter where they happen, on the field or in the staff. And the other cup half full thing was that, yeah, it's better than the last few years, so we'll live with it, and we're not going to raise a big stink because it's a long season and they could turn it around. Now, the empty part, again, up to the final two games, is that the offense totally blew, like otherworldly bad. We're not just talking struggling. Like, for the team they have, they were 25th in baseball, which is down with the likes of Colorado, who stinks, Oakland, the White Sox, the Marlins. Their offense was that bad up until that point. So if one would look at it empty, you, like, how do you really get into watching them every night when the offense is so putrid? Now, that started to change. But again, these were the thoughts before the final two games, which is I'm really painting the picture that closing this series against Colorado, and they're going to go play the White Sox, spoiler alert, and they are atrocious to another level. That's the jumping off point. That's what I think that's what I'm trying to portray. That taking care of business and getting everything going, finally the season can really begin. Other cup half empty stuff in relation. Whit Merrifield kind of sucks. He can't do anything. And the lineup just doesn't look good. It doesn't feel natural. It feels like there's missing a big void missing. I mean, a Rhys Hoskins-sized void if he's right. More of a Mike Trout-sized void, which we'll get to. But then the last two games happen, and all that kind of looks different because Schwarber's having a terrific start to the year. Trey Turner, who people were really pissed at to start the season when he kind of got out of the gates a tad slow. He's hitting the cover off the ball, so people can relax on Trey Turner. Turns out he's a great baseball player. Does the defense leave a bit to be desired? 100%. But he's in there to hit, and he's tearing the cover off the ball. So then once the big guys actually start showing up to the ballpark, and Schwarber had been relatively so all season, and Harper starts to do something, then it's kind of, oh, look, JT's actually being productive. Then all of the ancillary guys, like Boehm and Stott and Marsh, then they aren't relied upon. So when they ground into a double play or struggle for a second, everybody isn't jumping on them. It's the key to this team. I said it last year. When Nola was getting rocked, relative, and everybody hated him pretty much, don't sign this guy. He sucks. 4 runs, he's an ace. It's like, it doesn't matter if he's going 7 innings in the game, because this offense should be good enough to win if your starter gives up 3 or 4 runs in 7 innings. Like, that is valuable. And then we saw what he did in the postseason. So it all comes down to what the stars do, offensive stars. And finally, they're actually starting to do something, and you see comfortable wins, or one comfortable win and a win that should have been comfortable if the bullpen didn't kind of implode there at the end. But I am really encouraged after this week. And you know, people have painted me as negative, so I've heard. You know, out of all the people out there, it's probably hardest to sway me on things like the Sixers last night beat the Heat. Completely discouraged by the performance. I thought it was kind of an embarrassment. Like, Embiid and Maxey look totally sluggish, not into it. This is a Phillies podcast, but it's sending the message of, usually I'm kind of hard to sway on things like this. I thought it was a great week. I'm encouraged by it, the Phillies, that is. And I truly think it's the start, it's the jumping off point of the season. So that's where we start. I'm Ben Kenny, Phillies 24-7, 94 WIP. I was about to give the number, but we're not on air. So I always do this in the first segment as we talk about the week. The things that I think matter from the week of baseball. There's a lot that happened. Some of it matters, some of it doesn't. What I saw that I think matters, Aaron Nola, first and foremost. So he had that fun-ish, fun for some people, start in Cincinnati, where unlike a lot of pitchers who just want to gear up, give me a clean baseball, give me a dome atmosphere, let me just throw it 102 and try to hit it, which isn't really entertaining baseball, to be honest. Let me just see how hard I can throw. Like, I like the art of pitching and maybe adding a little bit more craft to it. He, unlike them, took 5 miles an hour off his stuff in torrential rain in Cincinnati. Or maybe it was here, but against Cincinnati. Took some off his stuff, throttled down, goes six innings, gives up like a run or two. Phillies win the game, and everybody freaked out because of his velo was down. And he's like, no, I was trying to manage. I knew if I tried to throw hard, I would lose control. And he had a great start. Now he comes back, perfect conditions against Colorado. 7 1/3, 1 run, 9 Ks, velocity back. After the big blip to start the year, which was, I was there, it sucked. Aaron Nola's back. I mean, his ERA is 3.47 even with that start. But he's not only trending in the right direction. I mean, it's showing that the struggle was a total anomaly. And he still should be trusted as that top-end guy. I thought his stuff looked great. And the beginning, like, he is a 3.47 even after giving 7 runs in 3 innings against Atlanta. The initial signs from Nola, I don't mean to hyperbolize, but his stuff looks like it did in 2018. The sharpness, if that's a word, you know what I'm saying. The sharpness of the stuff looks like it looked in 2018. So I think that really matters, and that's gigantic news. You signed the guy, so you kind of need him to be good, but also just for the, like, I want last year to be an anomaly, the regular season last year. The guy should be at the top of baseball. He's been one of the best for 6-7 years. He should continue to be that, and it looks like that's happening. Along with that, Ranger Suarez. I mean, what can you say? 2 starts this week. One of them, 6 innings. Actually, let me find... I'm sorry. No, 1 start this week. His prior start was 6 innings, a run or two against Pittsburgh, or no runs against Pittsburgh, with like 8 or 9 Ks. He's missing bats like crazy. This start, which is one of the best starts a Phillies pitcher's had, a Phillies pitcher outside of Zach Wheeler, who's done plenty of that. One of the best starts I've seen a Phillies pitcher have in years. And that includes a Michael Lorenzen no-hitter, which felt a tad fluky. 9 innings, a complete game, 7 hits, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk, total dominance and total control. Not only is the fielding stuff fun and amazing to watch, but he seems like he's in complete control at all times. His stuff looks better than it's ever looked, and he's healthy. And we kind of pumped up with this, oh, this could be his best year. That is assuming a full year of health and a continuation of what he's already done. It kind of didn't account for him being or turning into one of the best pitchers in the sport. And I'm not going to say that he's there because that's a little premature, I think. But to go out there, number one, that they let him do it, to pitch a complete game, but also that he's, like, his stuff is that dominant at the moment. I want to, I'm sorry, I'm trying to find his specific stats, because what startles me about him and Chris Sanchez at the moment, and Chris Sanchez is on this list, great start last night against Colorado, 6 innings, 10 Ks, bounced back from a tough start previously. Both of them are striking guys out at a really impressive clip. So Suarez, to start the year, 3 earned through 5 innings against the great Atlanta lineup, 7 Ks. You'll take that every time, realistically. Kind of struggled against Washington. 2 runs, 6 innings. But that struggle for him, only 4 strikeouts. But if that's a struggle, then you're pretty damn good. Then he goes 6 innings, no runs, 8 Ks against Pittsburgh. Complete game, no runs, 8 Ks against Colorado. A fantastic job of missing bats and generating strikeouts, which is kind of the step you need pitchers to take for them to be elite. They can't just be a great manager with soft contact all the time. You got to strike guys out. And he could do it without overpowering them. So that goes back to the Nola discussion. The way that Nola dropped his velocity and was effective. I wish every pitcher approached the game like Ranger Suarez does. He's a delight to watch. The art of pitching is there. Him and Nola as well. Wheeler falls a little bit more into the overpower, but he is closer to that than some of the others are. And he fields his position incredibly. You never feel that there's panic. He's always going to make the next pitch. It never snowballs. The guy is incredible. So what they've done with him, out of nowhere, again, Wheeler, Nola, Suarez, that's the best 1-2-3 in baseball, and it's not close. There are stats to say that the rotation has been the best in the sport, which it's early, and it's not a big surprise. Corey Seidman had this after the win yesterday, after Chris Sanchez's start. Philly's rotation, just the starters, after the win. 2.54 ERA, 1.06 WHIP, both of those best in the National League. 2.07 opponent batting average, also the best in the National League. And they have the best strikeout-to-walk ratio and ground ball rate in the league. Everything. It's not just fluky they're getting through innings. They are dominating. Now, they are playing some of the lower competition in the sport, and that has to be taken into account. They're not playing the Braves every time out there. But still, to get this from a rotation, even past the top two of Nola and Wheeler, is kind of amazing. So that's the stuff that really matters the most. Nola, Suarez, Sanchez, fantastic week. Turnbull still, you know, fine. But especially, I mean, watching that Suarez complete game, it brought me back to, like, there's nothing better. It's fun and all to watch Harper go deep 3 times in a game when they win 9-2. That's cool. There is nothing more fun in the sport for me than watching a great generational pitcher. Not saying Suarez is, but to watch a generational pitching performance. Like, give me Nola, Wheeler, give me Halliday, Hamels in Philly's history. But just in general, I'll go watch Clayton Kershaw in his prime go 8 innings, strike out 10, and give up a run. Like, that is the best to watch. And Suarez 100% was that this week. So the entire pitching staff, genuinely, it is the best staff in baseball. I tried to push this throughout the offseason, and everyone doesn't want to hear it because of Nola and how the season ended. People hate the bullpen because they didn't add anybody. And, I mean, the bullpen has been impressive after the first 3 games. It's been really good. So top to bottom, starters to bullpen, it is the best and deepest pitching staff in baseball, and that matters. It's not just they can get one game and the top-end guys are good. It's everybody. You're not throwing out some scrubs that in 08, all due respect, kind of got lucky continuously in the bullpen. The guys coming out now are actually really good. So that is the biggest note from the week. And Colorado blows, and it's okay. But I'm going to give credit to the Phillies as opposed to take it away just because it's Colorado. So that said, those are all the positives, and there are a lot of them. Also, and I'll just mention these quickly. I don't want to go deep into them, but in the week, last 7 days, Kyle Schwarber hitting .273 with 3 homers, delivering at the top of the lineup. Trey Turner leading the team in hits, 11 for 25. That's a .440 average. 2 homers. Powers there, 4 doubles. OPS of 1,300. Carrying the offense. So, no more, why did they sign this guy? I think it's pretty clear. It's after 3 days, everybody was ready to jump off the ship again, which I think is just pent-up aggression towards Jack and the ovation. But, yeah, Turner's really good, it turns out. So he's been great. And Harper's coming along. He'll be fine. There is nobody I worry about less than Bryce Harper. He will be totally fine. So those are the other good hitting notes. But the negative is that the offense in general still is leaving a bit to be desired. And I mainly am looking, and this is last week, Alec Boehm was 3 for 17. That's poor. Realmuto wasn't very good. The biggest thing And what I actually want to focus on, because I'm good with Bohm and Rail Muto and Marsh and Stott, they'll be fine. They'll be fine in the long run. They'll figure it out. They'll go through peaks and valleys. A guy I don't know if he's going to figure it out is Nick Castellanos, who last week went 4-for-23. That's 174 average. And on base and slugging. Because we are now however many games into the season, and he's yet to record an extra base hit, which is an amazing record that he's taking a run at the moment. But he has been, I mean, below replacement level, horrendous at the plate. Year to date, Nick Castellanos, 11-for-69. That is a 159 average. An on base of 227, because he has six walks. A slugging of 159, because they're all singles. An OPS of 386. That's worse than any pitcher. I don't think that's true, but that's worse than, find me a qualified hitter who plays every day. That's worse than that. The good part is, it's not losing them games directly, right? Like, the rest of the team is playing pretty well, so it's okay. But, startling, I would say. Startling start. You know what I'm saying. He doesn't exist in the lineup. It's hard to watch. What's the fix? People calling for him to get benched or sent down. They're not going to send him down. He makes too much money. And that wouldn't help, I don't think. I don't want to say his ego's too big, but the mental processes, like his mentality, I think it's hard to crack. So I don't know exactly what you do, aside from just pray he hits out of it. And approach it as if, you know, the rest of the lineup will contribute and he'll eventually come around. I don't know if he will. He hasn't had an extra base hit since the home run against the Diamondbacks in Game 2 of the NLCS. And he's played every game since then. He's done nothing. So, I don't know what the fix is. We're monitoring it, obviously. I'm not going to come on and say, oh yeah, bench the guy, that'll fix it. I don't think that will. I think he has to swing out of it, or eventually, come deadline time, you find a replacement. And that's the way you have to approach it. Other things that that matter, actually this is kind of good, or in the good sense, Brandon Marsh has moved up in the lineup. For all of the hand-wringing, which I did, when it came to Thompson and Stott and Marsh not hitting against lefties, or the management of the lineup to get everybody reps, which I didn't like because it meant benching Marsh in favor of keeping Rojas, who couldn't hit. Marsh is starting to play every day, which is great news, and it's Thompson, again, realizing what's right and doing it, so credit. He's also starting to move up. They've brought him up, I think he hit fifth the other day, against a lefty. So that's good. That is adaptation. That is seeing what actually works. Having Marsh play every day, I think, is going to be big for this team because one of the more productive hitters, and he's one of the guys that you just throw in there, and it might be a weird, doinky opposite field single. It might be a hook double down the line. He always finds a way to hit it to the right spot. So give me more Marsh in the lineup. And the last thing I wrote was Harper heating up, but we already kind of touched on that. Everybody just relax. Harper's going to be fine. Will the offense be fine? Yes. Will Castellanos be fine? I have no idea. I would bet no. There's a chance in the world, not saying this is true, but there is a chance that Nick Castellanos is totally cooked, that he's done. I would love for that not to be the case, but there is a chance that is true. So we're going to monitor that. Other stuff we're monitoring, and again, this isn't the story because it's just something that should be cleaned up. And if the team was losing, I would be all over it, but they're not. So we're not going to really dwell on it. But the sloppiness in the field and on the base pass continues to be frustrating. Just as a fan of the game and watching them play every night, misplays by the pitcher, JT throwing it into center, weird errors, running into outs. I would love if they could just clean that stuff up. If they lose and it's happening, I will harp on it forever. If they win and it's happening, we'll look past it until they start losing. But that's got to change going forward. So there you go. And the other thing I have to mention. So I've talked about sending Rojas down. I still would be in favor. He's kind of starting to hit a little bit, though. Credit to him. And honestly, now that the rest of the lineup is hitting, I'm more okay with him being there. 9 of 45 on the season. He's hitting 200, but he had two hits last night. He was 4 for 14 during the week. I think he had a day off in there. Like, manage him. Get him going slowly. But if he starts hitting, I have to acknowledge it because no one's been more anti him hitting than me recently. So there you go. All right, it's on the clock. I am Ben Kenny. We will step away. There are some general takes in regards to the team. As I always do it, there's the thought, the big thought from the week, the things that matter, the general takes from the team and from the week, and some responses to what I see a lot of my colleagues put out there or others. And then we'll get into some baseball-wide storylines coming up. That is all on the way. I'm Ben Kenny. It's on the clock.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're back. It is on the clock. I'm Ben Kenny. On this Thursday, the Phillies are now, obviously I didn't pull this up and I should have, 3 games over 500, 11-8, 2 back of the Braves. Again, why are we scoreboard watching? But they are playing some of the best baseball after a sweep of the Rockies as of late in the league. And I like this note, and this kind of gets us into where we're going. They are 3 games over 500. They didn't reach at 11-8. They did not reach 3 games over 500 until June 17th last season. That is exactly 2 months away in their 71st game. So they are way ahead of schedule. And you can compare them to the Braves, who are, you know, really good, who don't have pitching but are really good. You can compare them to any of the teams that are playing well. They really should be compared to themselves from last season, because the blueprint of 2022 with Girardi firing, Thompson takes over, they make a magical run, not replicable. Last year's blueprint of just totally stumbling out of the gates and being terrible, and then turning it around to Eakin as a wild card and making a semi-run. That's probably able to be replicated, but not as much as just being a consistently good team who doesn't need some big run or big renaissance late in the season to pull into position. So that context is valuable. 71st game. They just played their 19th game and they're 3 games over. That matters. After being on the seesaw, they're starting to separate. The White Sox are coming into town. They're like the worst team I've ever seen. They are, I just had it, 3-15. Again, atrocious. So that the gap or the progress should continue forward. So that's the context behind where they are as a team right now. In terms of general takes, general thoughts from the week that are kind of separate from an overview. I think Whit Merrifield might have been a terrible signing. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek because, well, many people, including myself, were kind of excited. I called for him early in the offseason. We were in on Merrifield and a utility infielder that's a right-handed bat that can just give me 260 off the bench and be productive. And the idea of that is great. There were some that might be smarter than us, to be honest, that saw the signing and immediately said, yeah, but he kind of sucks. Or whatever he was doing is not, it's not really sustainable into next year. Whit Merrifield this season, in limited time, 28 at-bats, he's 3-for-28. He's been worse than Castellanos. All three of those hits are singles. That's a 107 average. Again, Castellanos, 159, Merrifield, 107. Castellanos matters more, and he plays every day. But you kind of needed Merrifield to be, I mean, better than Rodolfo Castro is step one, and right now he's not, or not tangibly, except Rodolfo Castro isn't here. But you needed him to be something. And he's been nothing. He's also been kind of disappointing in the field. Like, the first 19 games, and I'm not going to write him off forever, but the early returns on the 19 games of him being a Philly have been awful. And, it's starting to look like a bad signing. In an offseason, I think Dave Dombrowski did a phenomenal job, did the big tasks of getting Nola and Wheeler locked up, and only really set out to do one or two other things, kind of failed at those other things. They didn't go out there and get a bullpen arm because they didn't think they needed to. I would have liked to see one. But you needed some sort of right-handed pop that can go in and play the outfield, that can maybe play the infield as well. Merrifield's not that. Now he might turn it around and still hit 220 this season. But again, I needed more. The Phillies were a productive bench bat. And by productive, I mean better than Pache and Cave. They were a real bench bat away from going to the World Series. If there could have been somebody to pinch hit for Rojas with the bases loaded, or in any of the situations that were high leverage where they should have pinch hit for Rojas, if there was a guy for that, they would have beat Arizona. And there wasn't. And Merrifield was thought of, maybe this becomes the guy. I don't think he's going to be the guy. So I am, a hand up, I might be out on him. Now, here's how it works. I was in entering the season. I'm now out. And it would now take a lot to get me back in. I'm not just monitoring and waiting to go side to side. I'm totally out. And I have to be drawn back in with exceptional play. So that's number one. There's been this talk of, how do they fix the lineup? I don't really think the lineup has to be fixed, but entertaining. Well, there's the Schwarber thing, which my thoughts on that are clear. That's going to continue. Guy's playing great. Jack brought up the idea of moving Marsh. If they really wanted to shake it up and if the offense really continued to struggle, which it probably will later in the season, like it's not this productivity stretch against the Rockies is not going to be all year. They're going to go through valleys. He brought up this idea of moving Marsh to the leadoff spot. No Stott, no Turner, moving Marsh up there. Go Marsh, Turner, Harper, Schwarber. And it's also to get somebody big in the four hole. Because, again, the one problem I think this team has, not pitching, not bullpen, it's the lack of a true scary presence protecting Bryce Harper. That's what Trout would do, by the way. So that's his thought. And I mean, one, I don't think that works at all because of the lefties. Two, Schwarber still is hitting 220. So yeah, he's going to hit for power, but he's also not going to be, he's not 260 or 270 with power. That's 220, 230 with power. So that's not as much as you want from a cleanup spot. I think JT and Bohm can carry the mantle in cleanup for now, at least for a little while. until the deadline or until a move can be made. And I'll get to Trout here in a second. JT has exceeded my expectations. I'm kind of looking at Boehm to be that guy. Now, he did, or no, JT was hitting fourth. Okay, because last night I turned on the game, and Schwarber, first pitch, bottom of the first, gone. Turner, next pitch, gone. And then Harper, I think, grounded out or got out or something. JT hits a single, so it was JT hitting four. Then Boehm, it's an RBI double. And it was a high fastball, opposite way. Boehm should be the guy that can hit fourth. That's who I envisioned hitting fourth entering the season. That's who did it in the playoffs last year and wasn't great, but he was the one guy that hit in game seven. I envisioned Boehm being that guy. So maybe you give him a month, or obviously you give him a couple months, but I mean mentally, not in terms of a move they would make, but you give him a couple months to figure it out and he becomes that guy. Then you don't have to move Schwarber. Then it kind of all still works. And again, when you go to the deadline to improve, how can I put middle of the lineup power to protect Bryce Harper and a guy that can probably play left and or maybe even not every day, or maybe play right? Maybe you're so done with Castellanos at that point that you get a guy, he plays left, Marsh plays right. That versatility is valuable because you want to keep Marsh in the lineup. They're going to probably keep Rojas in the lineup because of the defense. So where's that improvement? It could be in either corner outfield. So I'm not fixing anything. I'm not moving anything at the moment. I think it's going to work, and I'm okay if they struggle because I think the struggle today is productive going forward to at least reach somewhere in the future. So that's that. Joe Giglio on the midday show did ask the question of if we overrated the Phillies lineup. And again, this is after the split against Pittsburgh and the first game against Colorado, and everything looked bleak. And things have looked a little better. It's an interesting question, though, and I'm not agreeing with him. But I would say, in general, I think we as the fan base, when we talked about their hot stretch, and I am at fault here, 100%, I think I and we overrated the consistency of the lineup. Because the last time we saw them out there was in the playoffs, playing great. And, well, not playing great at the end, but we saw it all click. We saw the Harper hot streak against Atlanta. We saw Castellanos go crazy. We saw Turner playing great. So we saw it recently all click, which means we're like, okay, yeah, we enter the year and they're all great and it's all going to be good. It is a very volatile group of players, minus Harper. Schwarber's volatile. Castellanos, to a fault, is volatile. The group as a whole either all works or it seems like none of it works. And I think we overrated the consistency of the lineup, which is fine. It's not as if there's a problem. It's more expectations were what they were. And it's April, so it's okay if they're inconsistent today. I think that's what we kind of have to sit back and understand. We can bitch and complain, and the important part is, can Castellanos actually give anything good, or is it only bad? But aside from that, in terms of 1-9, we just have to understand that it's kind of an inconsistent group. And winning games while not being the most everyday pounding the ball lineup is a good thing. And I wrote here, and I will continue to echo, it's clear where the improvement's needed. Again, what's the issue? You don't have the big power bat. Where could that be in the corner outfield? And just give me somebody that can be consistent. And the answer's probably Mike Trout, who just went deep again. But you know what I'm saying? I would take a consistent 280 with 25 homers or whatever over he could get red hot maybe and carry the team, but also could stink. Like, no Giancarlo Stanton type player, as opposed to I'd rather somebody that can consistently just produce there because the rest of it will kind of be up and down around him. That's the thought process. So that's that. I put a question mark. I said Ranger Suarez place in baseball, and we're going to need more time on this, and I don't have all of the crazy stuff plus and all the things that The Athletic does. I will say, Ranger Suarez is the number one pitcher in fantasy baseball. 26 innings. He's 3-0 with 27 Ks. 1.73 ERA. If you actually ask me, like, where do I think he is genuinely, for a long regular season, I will answer differently than the playoffs. Long regular season, I think Suarez is a legitimate two. I think he's ascended to a two. Here, he's a three, which is remarkable. And again, why they didn't have to sign Montgomery. Rotation's fine. They're all set. He's a good two. You put him on most other teams, he's not a top-end ace, but he's a really, really good two, I think. In the playoffs now, given his track record and what he's done on that stage, I think he's one of the best in baseball. And that sounds like hyperbole. His numbers back it up. He's one of the best postseason performers. But he always seems to be better when it matters. He's getting better, clearly, from year to year to year. It was a fever dream 2 years ago in the postseason. Last year felt sustainable. This year, now he's become a total stud. So he's ascending. That's a real ascension. So check back on that. We're monitoring. Other big story with the team that we're checking is Taijuan Walker, who I believe they said is going to be back soon. The last update, as I look at Twitter, the last update is that he is doing another rehab start. Here it is, Todd Zielecki. Taijuan Walker's return to the Phillies rotation is closer than perhaps anybody expected. He explained why he can help, and even if he doesn't have the velocity and blah, blah, blah. He's coming back soon, which creates a very interesting dynamic because when you look up and down the lineup, as has been tweeted, Suarez 173, Turnbull 180, Sanchez 253, Wheeler 300, Nola 347. Incredible. So where does Taijuan Walker go? Is Taijuan Walker better definitively than any of those guys right now? No. The answer is no. Spencer Turnbull right now, I think, is a better pitcher. But when I look at the, like if it was a playoff series, Taijuan Walker's not in my rotation. But I think there is there's a different way to approach it when you're talking season long, which is where they are right now. And I would bring Walker back. I would have him be my five because he's trained as a starter. He's paid as a starter. He can eat innings. I'm okay if he gives me a 4-2 ERA as long as he, every fifth day, 6 to 7 innings, productive, not killing the pen. I can't move Chris Sanchez out because he's been awesome and looks to be getting better and needs the experience. I would move Turnbull. And it's tough because, again, Turnbull has earned it. Turnbull's pitched fantastically. But Turnbull prepared for the season to be the long man. He was signed as a starter. They prepped him as the long man to fill Dylan Covey's role. So I think he's better equipped to move to the pen. It's not a question of who is the best starter for me. It's a question of who is the best equipped to transition to the bullpen and help the team that way. And I think the answer to that would be Turnbull. So that's what I would do for now. I would not be opposed to a six-man rotation down the line because all six are good. It keeps everybody fresh. It keeps them productive. I'm good with that. Again, it's not a problem because you have five starters who are pitching out of their minds and another guy coming back who is proven to be at least solid. At least okay. That's a great problem to have. You have too many good pitchers. Like, go tell that to anybody else in the sport. The Braves would buy them off you. The Braves would take Turnbull and put him in the rotation tomorrow. Like, you're in a pretty good spot if this is what we're kind of debating over. The last bit, the last take from the week, Mike Trout continues. I mean, just a torrid start to the season. He's hitting 282 with 8 homers, 11 RBI. He's back to being the total top-end stud that he's been when healthy, but now he's healthy and he's still doing it. So, I mean, one, impressive. Two, good for baseball. Like, I'm happy for that. Three, the Phillies have to trade for him. They do. And there might be more Trout has to ask out because it is pathetic. If he never tries to get out of Anaheim, given how he's playing, and given what's happened in the last year with Ohtani, the Angels are 9-9. They're going to be average all season. Hopefully, they need to hit a crater. They need to start being terrible so he can leave. Now, a recent article on ESPN says why Trout still wants to win with the Angels, which again he will never do. And I quote: Trout said, "I'm not putting it on 1 year. This year," he said. "I have 6 years left on my contract. After this, I told a lot of people, if something, I don't know what it is, but if I feel some type of way, you guys will know. So, pretty much saying, I don't want to ask out now, but if I do and when I do, you'll know. It feels like a bit of inching. He is slowly inching towards finally asking out of that place. And when he does, I'm giving up whatever to get him. I said early in the offseason, I'm not trading for Trout because I don't trust him to stay healthy for a full year. But if it is getting down to August and it's the trade deadline and I only need him for August, September, and a playoff run, and he's healthy then chances are he's going to be healthy for the playoff run. So I am trading for Trout. Whatever it takes. Fixes every problem the team has. It's a dominant offensive force in the lineup. It makes them the prohibitive favorites to win the World Series. The Phillies, I think, are good enough to win the World Series today as well, but they're a Mike Trout away from being, like, top-end dominant. You're not beating this team. So, do the deal. Hopefully he inches out. Hopefully the Angels start stinking. That's what we need. All right, it's on the clock. I'm Ben Kenny. We'll step away. Have some Major League Baseball storylines to touch on. We'll hit that next. All right, we're back on the clock. Ben Kenny with you. Some baseball-wide storylines to hit on before we get out of here. I need to pull this up, actually. I saw this recently. The war, the leaders in war through however many games. This always happens to me. I think it's...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Buster only. It's always the thing you see, and then you never know when you're going to then need to go back and find it. Here we go. The leaders in war so far this season in baseball. Juan Soto, 1.2. Mike Trout, 1.3. Jose Altuve, 1.5. Anthony Volpe on the Yankees, 1.5. Ketel Marte, 1.5. Bobby Witt, 1.6. Mookie Betts is at a 2-1. Not a big fan of war when it comes to Hall of Fame voting because it kind of totally diminishes every argument into, let me just read numbers. I think there's more to Hall of Fame. But to put into context how crazy good Betts has been, it's a valuable tool. He's been insane. So he's already at a 2-1. He's having the best season of his career after already being an MVP stud. That looks a lot like a Babe Ruth-like trade the Red Sox made to get rid of him because they didn't want to pay him. Which is, if that happened here, everybody would turn off baseball forever. If they got, it's Bryce Harper. If they got rid of Bryce Harper at a younger age, entering his prime, because they didn't want to pay him, see ya. No one's fans of the sport anymore. So, shame on the Red Sox for that. Japanese pitchers. I wanted to do this. I'm fascinated by the guys that had just come over this last offseason. Yuki Matsui is one of them. San Diego reliever. 10 innings only, but a .9 looks dominant, looks great. So we're monitoring him, and I'm excited for him. The bigger deal are the two starters. One's Yamamoto, who we talked about all offseason. Terrible first start in San Diego, in Korea. 5 runs in an inning. Since then, been really solid. Hasn't gone more than 5 innings, but starting to chip away at the ERA and turning it around, and an impressive pitcher. So fascinated by him. I think he's going to be a stud, and I love to watch him. The other one, who I am head over heels in love with, is Shota Imanaga. This guy, 15 and a third innings, 2 wins, hasn't given up a run yet for the Cubs, that is. 16 strikeouts. He's running down the Mariners, the Dodgers. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball. So that trio that came over all look like they are going to deliver and can pitch. Other stuff we're monitoring. The Astros might be bad, which would be a fantastic development. They're 6-14. They're not even just kind of playing poorly. Like, they kind of suck. So that's could be big. And Juan Soto, as we mentioned, having a great year, but kind of the perfect Yankee, which it has to start going poorly so the Phillies can sign him in the offseason. Teams we are monitoring. The Royals, 12-7. Kind of this fun youth with Salvador Perez still. Fun youth movement. We're monitoring them. The White Sox are 3-15 and totally suck. You'll see them this weekend. The Marlins are 4-15. They also suck. And the NL Central is fun. Brewers 11-6, Cubs 11-7, Pirates 11-8, Reds are 9-9. Fun division. Aside from that, the Diamondbacks are sub-500. So again, half victory lap on that. I'll say I'm right. There you go. There's a lightning round on things we're monitoring across the sport. All right, it's on the clock. When we come back, we'll touch on the series coming up against the lowly White Sox. That's next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, Ben Kenny on the clock. We close it out. The Phillies and White Sox. Phillies have a day off on Thursday and then are still home this weekend, which is weird. Spencer Turnbull versus, I think it's Garrett Crochet. The one good part of the White Sox rotation is Garrett Crochet. Lefty, kind of nasty. So that could be a fun game, actually, on Friday night. Saturday, Wheeler versus Mike Soroka. The former Brave, Soroka, been awful, been totally rocked, and doesn't have it anymore. Was really good in like 18, 19, I think. And then, I mean, totally donezo. Sunday, Aaron Nola versus Nastrini, who I must admit, Nick Nastrini, 24 years old. Must admit, don't know him. He has 5 big league innings. So, hard to know. But, yeah, this should be another sweep, to be honest. It should be another sweep. So, we could be looking at, again, a launch pad. Phillies then go to Cincinnati. We'll talk next Thursday after that series. But, I mean, 7 games coming up. Give me a 5-2 week. Start to, you know, get up there with the Braves and maybe even separate. Phillies do play the Angels coming up, so maybe an in-person pitch, if you will. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, as always, for joining. I'm Ben Kenny, at Benji Kenny on Twitter, if you want to follow me there. We will be back next Thursday/Friday, as we always are. Until then, have a great week, everybody. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.